Does everybody have one of the workbooks that I just passed out? If you weren't at your table, you'll find that there is probably one there for you, and we do have extra copies. I realize that folks are still eating, and so I don't want to divert that necessarily, because I know we, by the time we get through the line and decide what kind of soup that we want, even though, like John Jewett, we don't always get the particular flavor that we want. Oh, well.
Or get the dregs.
That's true. I got the dregs, John. I took the dregs for you. Thank you. I took that bullet. One of the things I want to remember to say, at some point, so I'm going to start out by saying it, is we are going to be talking about having the conversation and various aspects of having the conversation about our values, our priorities, how we would like to shape the later parts of our lives. And one of the things that I want to emphasize, and this results from some conversation in the kitchen before dinner, I'd like to see a show of hands for everybody whose family has ever had an inheritance dispute. Yeah, how many families have had inheritance disputes? Quite a few of us. Yeah. It's important not only to have the conversation about ourselves or about our parents, it's important to let everyone in the family know what the details are. So this will avoid disputes among siblings, disputes among various parts of the family. If everybody knows what the deal is, everybody knows who the executor is and why, everybody knows what's going on. That's the best way to avoid some of the later controversy. Here you go, Seema. So now I'll go back to my script, having veered off for that. I wanted to give you, first of all, a walking tour. First of all, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you all back here. I want to take you on a walking tour of the booklet that we passed out, because we are going to be using this booklet for probably, certainly this week, next week, and week number 5. Week number 4, we have a guest speaker, and I'm not sure if we'll be needing this or not. We'll find out in the meantime. But I want to give you an overview of the booklet, because we will not be going through it from point A to point B. We're actually going to be starting in the middle. But if you take a look at the table of contents,
plug it in.
You can see that the first chapter has to do with medical directives. That's actually going to be week 3. Planning your funeral service, that's today, week 2. What's on second is our funeral service. Preparing to write your will and estate planning, that's going to be week 5. So you can see we're not going in a straight line. So don't get confused that we're not starting on the first page. But we are, in fact, going to be starting on page 15. So we would ask you to bring the book every week. We do have extra copies, but it's probably easier for you if you remember where you put it each week so that you don't have to recreate all of the information every time. Oh, yes. Reverend Annie, who is part 2 of this evening's presentation, wants me to inform you everything that we talk about will be handed out. Of course, I'm talking about something that's already been handed out, but she'll be talking about things that are yet to be handed out. I know, but it's okay. They're here tonight. You get them tonight. Okay. If you take a look at page 15... planning your funeral service. Some of their terminology is a little strange. It'd help if I get to 15. This actually has some good stuff on it. I'm sorry? Where's 15? It's right after 14. And on page 15, we read, "The Christian faith calls us to witness, even in death, the new life that God gives in Christ through his death and resurrection. We have prepared this booklet to help you and your family prepare in advance. It will enable your family and the parish clergy to understand your wishes and preferences. The clergy will help plan the service and will stand ready to assist in every way. Christian burial is marked by three characteristics. First and foremost, it is an act of worship wherein we glorify God for the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Second, it is a time when members of the body of Christ gather to offer gather to comfort one another and to offer mutual assurance of God's abiding love. Third, it is a liturgy of celebration whereby we give thanks for a deceased loved one and commend that person to the care of Almighty God. The earliest records of Christian burial tell us that the following elements were included: prayer in the home before the burial, a gathering of the community for a burial service consisting of thanksgivings, hymns, psalms, hymns, readings from Scripture, and prayers for the departed and those who mourn, celebration of the Holy Eucharist, a procession of lights and torches to the place of burial, and the interment of the remains. As part of preparation for Christian burial, it is suggested that you talk with your clergy. You, on the other hand, have your clergy talking with you. It is also of great benefit to read about the service in the Book of Common Prayer, and it lists some of the pages that have instructions in them. Disciplinary rubrics. Nah, that's not what we wanted. Okay. You look like you're landing an airplane. This is true. This is why she's doing it, not me. She's got the skills. Oh, you're turning off the light. I thought you were going to go and push an icon up there. I was thinking, is that going to work? Why don't you turn off the spotlights? The kitchen ones. Or at least you can turn off others too, but... Okay, can you take us to page 468?
For what?
468. I was going to read it to you. But it was going to be the concerning the service about the... Okay. Zoom out. The death of a member of the church should be reported as soon as...
There we go.
We told you this one would be a lot more fun. The death of a member of the church should be reported as soon as possible to, and arrangements for the funeral should be made in consultation with, the minister of the congregation. Baptized Christians are properly buried from the church. The service should be held at a time when the congregation has opportunity to be present. The coffin is to be closed before the service, and it remains closed thereafter. It is appropriate that it be covered with a pall or other suitable covering. We can talk about why that is in a moment. If necessary or desired, all or part of the service of committal may be said in the church. If preferred, the committal service may take place before the service in the church. It may also be used prior to cremation. And some of these have to do hanging over from the days when the churchyard was right outside the door, and you went right on out there. A priest normally presides at the service. It is appropriate the bishop, when present, preside at the Eucharist and pronounce the commendation. It is desirable that the lesson from the Old Testament and the epistle be read by laypersons. When the services of a priest cannot be obtained, a deacon or lay reader may preside at the service. At the burial of a child, the passages from Lamentations, 1 John, and John 6, together with Psalm 23, are recommended. It is customary that the celebrant meet the body and go before it into the church or towards the grave. The anthems at the beginning of the service are sung or said as the body is borne into the church, or during the entrance of the ministers, or by the celebrant standing in the accustomed place. And primarily the reason I wanted to take a look at that is the emphasis on the fact that Christians are properly buried from the church. Doesn't mean you have to be. We certainly have had services in funeral homes, but the norm and the expectation is that the church is the, you know, the body of Christ is the group that recognizes all of the significant parts of our lives and significant transitions. And so this is the group that properly bids us farewell. So, going back to the workbook, if you turn the page, on page 17, even though it says my funeral instructions at the top, this page and the next page, page 18, actually are listings of vital information and contact information. So they are information that it will be important for other individuals to have access to at the time of your death, but those two pages are not specifically concerning the funeral. That starts on the next page. There really aren't that many choices that you will need to make as you think about your service. You have the opportunity to make it highly individual, but you don't have that many areas that you need to worry about. The service itself doesn't change. You know, we can add stuff, we can take stuff out, but it's the same service. And one of the things I wanted to mention is we sometimes in our culture we talk about funerals, or we'll talk about memorial services. In the Episcopal Church, those two services are exactly the same. The only difference between a funeral and a memorial is that at the funeral, the body or the ashes are present. At the memorial service, they're not. That's the only difference. So the service stays the same, and then the choices and the decisions that precede it stay the same as well. Now, one of the first choices is going to be easy, and it's probably something you already know, and it's determined by what time you go to church. Because your first... Right one or right two, that's exactly right. Your first choice is, do you want to use right one, which carrying in the tradition of right one uses the traditional language, or right two, which is a bit more contemporary. They have the same parts, they have the same prayers, different versions, but the same prayers. So you're not losing anything one way or the other if you opt for one over the other. This primarily... The things you'll need to think about, and these are there are places for you to write down your choices, and you can see at the bottom of 19, I request write one, write two, and you can request that you have a memorial instead of a funeral. Beyond that, the choices have to do with what you want read, what you want sung. Insofar as you can control it, what you want said about you. But that might be determined by who you would like to have speak. Or not, as the case may be. So, in the middle of your book, I think there is a handout called that has to do with the readings. The prayer book does have a list of suggested readings in all three of the categories. Old Testament, Epistle, Old Testament, New Testament, and Gospel.
And I'm going to hand you out a list of websites, and this one will be on it. And we figure some of you may be doing this long distance with a child or a grandchild that may not have access to a prayer book, but they can go online and just access it, and it's... You'll be looking at the same thing. Let's see.
As I was saying, your choice of readings is one of the ways that you can personalize the service or make it tailor it to your individual preferences. There are a few rules about it, but those are all contained on the first page or the cover page of the readings handout. If you want communion, and we'll get to that in a moment, but if you want communion, you must have a reading from the gospel. And the clergy read that one. You still get to pick it, but the clergy read it. You can then have, It's kind of like one from column A, one from column B, one from column C. You can have Old Testament, New Testament, and Gospel, and you can choose a psalm, and you can stick some extra music in there, or you can just go with the Gospel and go, you know, streamline it and just do that. You can have one reading, or two readings, or three readings. But if you're having communion, the one reading has to be the Gospel reading. If you choose an Old Testament reading and or a New Testament reading, those are some of the places where you can involve members of your family, because you can invite family members to do the readings. So think about that. Here at Trinity, you can choose, if you are going to have communion and there's someone in particular you would like to do the chalice, who's one of our licensed chalice bearers, you can designate that. You can designate folks you'd like to be your ushers. You can choose all of the people that you would like to be involved in the service. You might want to check with them ahead of time to make sure they'll say yes. But these are all things that you can choose. In terms of the music, and we have David here. Yay, David. Again, you are free to choose favorite hymns. This is something that sometimes people can't remember off the top of their head. But some of the traditional ones we've had are, mm-hmm. Well, of course, Amazing Grace is very traditional. Blessed Assurance we've had from time to time. More recently, we had I Walk in the Garden Alone, or I Come to the Garden Alone. We've had A Mighty Fortress is Our God. We've had Rock of Ages. There are no specific hymns that you must have or can't have. If they're in the hymnal or another hymnal and David has access to the music, you're probably okay with it. We've had some interesting funerals here. We had a swing music combo in the back for Dick Cole's funeral. And I thought that if people got up and started dancing, that'd be a whole new kind of a liturgical dance, dancing to swing. I think we had Cab Calloway singing at one point. Jack Farrington, yep. Minnie the Moocher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, yeah, he told his kids not to put it in, but they did. Yeah, so. We've had Disney music, which was absolutely lovely, absolutely gorgeous. I'm having some of that at my service. So, again, that's another way that you can personalize the service and choose what you would like. If you are drawing a total blank, ask David, and he can give you some recommendations. Or, conversely, between now and whenever this plan kicks in, while it's still theoretical.
Before you kick off, is that the check out? Kick the bucket?
Down the drain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Between now and then, pay attention to what we sing on Sundays in church. If there's one that you suddenly go, oh, I'd like to have that, write it down. Because otherwise, the only way we can find it is by looking up the first line. And if you don't remember the first line, that's tough. So it's a lot of looking through the book. Okay. So yeah, listen for passages that you like. Listen for music that you like. Think about what you'd want. Think about what's going to reflect your personality. Does anybody know some of the stuff they'd like already? Mm-hmm. What would you like for communion? Earthen vessels. There you go. St. Louis Jesuits. All right. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. We hold these treasures. Yep. And Kathy mentions communion. So this is another issue that is significant. As you saw from the rubrics, the prayer book assumes that we're going to be having communion. It's not required. You're no less redeemed if you don't have it at your service. You're still dead, but you're no less redeemed if you don't have it. I'm sure. And to be honest, the reason that a lot of Episcopalians waffle or are undecided about having, of why not to have communion is because they know that a lot of folks who are likely to attend the service may well not have an Episcopal background. And they don't want them to feel awkward, they don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And so what I would say is this. First of all, if your service is in the church and people are coming to your service, they're already expecting that it's going to be a religious service. It's in the church. So they're not going to be offended if it's a religious service. The other thing is that at a service such as a wedding or a funeral, where there are a lot of folks who might not be familiar with the Anglican tradition, Reverend Annie and I, we always give words of invitation. We always give words of instruction. We make it very clear that everyone is welcome to receive communion, but that also that it's entirely up to them. And you see, your friends and your family and your business associates, they won't be offended if there's communion as long as they know they can have it if they want. You know, they may well choose not to partake in communion, but they won't be offended that you have it because they know they were welcome. The image is small. The water is wide. I cannot cross over. Nor have I wings to fly. So it's already 7:30, so Martz, get off the stage.
Yep.
Oh. Commercial. Final thought. As I say, your friends, your business associates will not be offended that we serve communion as long as they know that they themselves are welcome to receive it. So, yeah, Janae. You might want to check with Reverend Annie if you can ask a question.
Yeah, you'll 50 cents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are recommended, again, simply because this is a time when people's minds often go blank. So these are suggested. They are, in some ways, they are traditional readings to have at a service, but you are welcome to pick any scripture readings you want. You can bring in poetry, suitable poetry. We'll still have scripture, but you know, you're able to bring... we're a little more flexible here than some clergy might be. So if there's something that's very important to you, we will work with you to accommodate that. But okay. Yes, you are not limited to these scripture readings.
So what I'm going to do is...
Hang on. Any other questions? Hi, Kimberly.
So we fill this out, do we give it to you, or what do we do with
that? Yeah, we'll take... You might want to keep the booklet to have at home, but we'll take copies of those pages and keep them in a file in the office.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else? Okay, my time is up. Aww. It's time for me to go. But one other thing. We've talked about having the conversation. Information on specifically how to have the conversation will be part of next week's presentation. So we will be giving examples and guidelines of how to broach the topic with family and friends and doctors and things like that. Okay, so, bye.
John, what do I push to get that off? Mr. Jewett, just exit? It's not.
Well, this is wasting time, isn't it?
There. Okay.
Yes, Carol, a question.
Okay, so I gave you all this pink sheet. Everything that I show you online is summarized on one of the handouts. And so they're all there for you to take afterwards. And what we're going to go through is, and since I don't want you lost in the handouts or taking notes about how to get through the website, just watch, because it'll become intuitive after a couple of sites. And if you have an issue, let me know. If you are not a computer person, that's why we printed it out. If you are a computer person, then you don't need to take the printouts. So it's up to you guys. The first one we're going to go to is the most helpful. We're going to go through a couple things. A couple of industry sites for funerals that are going to go through all your legal rights, various kinds of burials and services. You will also go through price lists, comparisons of various places in Orange County, burial, then cremation and a couple ways to be cremated. And then I'm going to show you some of a list that compares every single funeral house in town.
Can I tell them about the T-shirt?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Some of you have heard this already. This is the T-shirt we did legitimately see in a catalog that we decided not to order for tonight. But we were thinking about it, and it says...
Okay, now, Jeannie, pastoral moment. Go for it.
Did you scope the room?
I scoped the room.
Okay. It says, cremation is my last chance to have a smoking hot body. We chose not to order those.
I don't know. Jeannie will have to get you the catalog. And then lastly, I'm just going to touch on organ donation and whole body donation. And so let me pull up some of the sites that I found really helpful. Okay, so there is this California state site, but I don't like it. It's really boring. So this one is the best one I found. It's funerals.org. It's the top one on your page. And it is a nonprofit, non-funeral industry-related Funeral Consumers Alliance, wealth of information. What it has on here that I think is really good, it does have your what to expect, what you should know, your legal rights. And then it has a lot of information for veterans. So you on all these sites, you just scroll down, and then there's what should everyone know. And this sort of is an industry site, but a consumer site at the same time. So here it tells you how to get a fair and affordable funeral. If you don't know where to start, you can begin here. And it gives you, it walks you through everything you need to know. But I'm going to show you some stuff that's even better, which is, let's see. What should you know? I think as far as choosing a funeral home, when I show you the ones that are around here, they'll help you. Part of it is choosing by familiarity, and part of it is by cost. So let's see. So then there's, you know, the screen will keep showing you various things to look up. But what I found that was interesting was, let's look over here. Okay. So there'll always be resources, which are often things that you can print. This one I didn't like. Sorry. It really is, if you go to this site, let me pull the next one, which I like better, which is the California one. Okay, so this one is there, and up there they're going to be blue, two purple sheets is what you're going to look up. And on here you can find... Guide to purchases, a price survey, should you prepay, a whole bunch of stuff. So here, when you look under opinions and rights, it goes through all your legal rights, conventional options, embalming facts, cremation, and this is new, home funeral, and this promission is part of a, let's see, what was that? I think that's the... Oh, it's a green burial, okay? So when you get to this site, which, because it's the Funeral Consumers Association of Southern California, it's got all the information of the funeral site, but what it has that's interesting is you pick out the price survey, and there's Orange County, right? So on here, on your legal right, and all this stuff is duplicated in various sites, but this one, I think, is the easiest summary. So, and they have it in Spanish, too, if anybody needs it. So, Federal Consumer Rights is a pamphlet. This is the second website, okay? And the first one leads you to here, but I just go straight here. So it's going to give you federal government and state governance issues about funerals and your legal rights, consumer guides, all of that stuff. Basically, you have the right to be buried wherever you can afford to be buried. And if you can't afford that, there are options here in Orange County for people who are struggling financially. Any way you want to be, any way you want your remains taken care of can happen. An embalming is not required. So that some people think you have to be embalmed, you do not. The green funeral movement and biocremation is really becoming quite popular. So are home funerals, like in the olden days. And there are programs that will actually walk you through how to do that. So the laws are broader than you might think. And so as long as you check with this site for your local laws, you should be fine. The only thing that can kind of get you in trouble is if you decide to put somebody at home, like a body, in the backyard. If you put your body under the roses, that's going to be an issue. But cremated remains, everyone I know, you sign whatever they say at the memorial home that you will not remove these, you'll not be removing these from the city, and you just do what you need to do.
Just a quick comment. It's going to sound like another joke, but it's not, because I did have this happen. When I moved to California, I do have a revocable trust, but moving from Florida to California, I had it redone. I also changed the fact I originally had wanted my ashes someplace else. I'm now going to have them in the memorial garden here. And as when the attorney redid all the paperwork, I was going through it, and I was looking at the part about where the disposition of my remains, and I said, should it specify that I need to be cremated first before I go in the garden? And she said, oh, yes, you should say that, because she had not put that in there. So the memorial garden could have gotten very crowded with the irrigation lines and everything. So if you have any desire to have your remains, your ashes in the memorial garden, please do specify in your paperwork that you would like to be cremated first.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The funeral consumer rights, which is on this page, is super small print, and it's from 2012. So when I compared it to the other rights on this page and on the funeral ethics, there is no change. So basically, if you've had anything from 2012 until now about your rights, there's no change. But we do just want to reiterate that you do not have to be embalmed. So again, legal rights, the conventional options, which is a traditional embalming and burial. This will tell you all the embalming facts if you're curious to know. And it's also in Spanish. There's cremation and all the information you might need to know about your options and then there's down here, there's a green burial is another option, and I have stuff on that. Anything that's called direct means there's no embalming. And then there's a lot of options on what you have to do as far as caskets and all of that. You can, from everything I looked at, if you just go in the midst of your mourning to a funeral home, you may not be able to make all the most economical and wise options, or your children may not, because there's no rule of what you have to be buried in, as far as casket liner or embalming, and it's very, very much it can be a cardboard box. You know, so there's a lot of options, but you need to think about it beforehand, because we've probably all have been in that situation where under pressure, you want to do the right, you know, your kids wants to do the right thing for mom or dad, and if they don't know that a cardboard box is up your alley, they might pay too much for the and get you the $10,000 casket. So, yeah? Oh, cremation can happen at the funeral homes that you know or at various cremation facilities, like you've all heard of Omega or Neptune, and I have some others that are local. So everyone, most funeral places will do a cremation, and when we get to the price list, you'll see the difference. So this is on home funerals in case you want to kind of do like a Jewish vigil, a couple of days with the body. The family washes and prepares the body, and there's a people come to the home, and then there's a transportation to wherever the final resting spot is, or the cremation site. And so there are reasons here to do it, and it's very legal. The only thing you need to do is get a and they'll be here, the permits, a certificate of death and the permits. And the only thing about doing this that can be a little tricky is if you go through a traditional funeral home or a crematorium, they do all that paperwork, but it's not that much paperwork. So so here are some more information on that. That's on, again, under options and rights. Then promession is a new way of being being ecologically minded, and instead of being cremated, which we know is through heat, this one is through there's one through freezing, and then your body becomes powder dust, right? And then I have another one that uses some a chemical process that doesn't pollute the watershed. So there are some other options out there if you would like to, if you're very concerned about having a very light footstep. Yeah? No. Mm-mm. Now here I'm going to take you, and over here, green burial. So you have, sometimes you have to, there, if you want to be in a cemetery that does the green burial, you can look it up here. There's resources here on everything you would need as far as how to pick something, a casket or an urn. We're going to go over advanced directives. Organ and body donation is here, or I'm going to show you other websites. There is stuff on, this is really funky, death cafes where you get together and you talk about it and have coffee. And food and coffee, just like us tonight. This one is also really important to consider, and I have a handout for you. It's whether or not you want to pay for your funeral services in advance, and it's usually pretty good, but there are a couple of different ways you can do it, and this will give you all the different options from going to a funeral home and picking what you want, and you put down a deposit, or you pay it all, or you make, they all have online payment sites. So you can die and then pay off later, I guess. The worst kind of debt, huh? There are pros and cons. And one thing Jeannie and I are, we don't want to give you financial advice, so we just want you to see where the information is and you figure it out with your family. And some people like to have it all done, because then that's one less stressor on their children or their spouse. Some people like to have the flexibility of having an account set up in your own bank that you put your money towards, so that wherever you are, you're not connected to that particular place. Like, because if you go to Fairhaven and you prepay and then you move back to Virginia, because that's where all your kids are, your body's going to get put into Fairhaven, all right? There's very, very hard to get out of your prepaid thing. So you sometimes you can, but not everybody wants to, some places won't transfer the money. Some people are like, that's what you paid for, that's where you're going. So the reduced cost, I'm going to show you the price survey, but you can have, make different choices to be aware of your costs. When it says direct cremation, it means no embalming. So that's a term. If you say direct direct burial or direct cremation, no embalming, right? Because it has to happen quick. And so let me go back and I'll show you the price survey. So let's say you're here, but you know that you're going to be up in Santa Barbara County because that's where your kids are. But for now, Orange County. And I have this printed out for you. Okay, so this is as good faith, accurate, and comparable, but you know, by the time you might need it, things might have gone up, which is one of the things to consider about prepayment. So I have this handout for you, or you can go to this website, but it's every city. So let me show you. Let's just pick Orange. I can get down to it. This is all of Orange County. Okay, so, yeah. So, corporate-owned or family-owned on the far right, the priceless online, very hard to find. This is giving you a range of the least expensive casket, right? A full funeral, which most of you shouldn't need because you're going to have a service here. An immediate burial, which means no embalming, and direct cremation, which means no embalming. Okay, so that just starts to show you, here's best cremation care. Here's the funeral and cremation service of Orange County. Here's Omega, right? And then down. So there's a range. Let me go to Santa Ana, because that's where a lot of you would be for Fairhaven. Okay. So the range is pretty great. You know, so here's Fairhaven, which a lot of us would automatically go to. We'll go with Fairhaven because we know them, and they'll come do the transportation, they'll do the death certificates, they'll do the cremation, and your ashes will be in a small urn with a velvet pouch, and that's $1,730 today, all right? But if you went to a more affordable place, it would be different. So I have this printed out. Some of you want the relationship, you know, that you know somebody, but where's my thing?
And actually, the urn price is probably independent of that.
Right, you can get a basic, but
plastic box, plastic bag.
Right,
yeah.
But you know, it's a plastic bag with your cremains, and then it's like a plexiglass box, and then it's in a velvet pouch, and then it's in a cardboard box from Fairhaven. Okay. For almost $2,000. Right. And so, like, here's Omega. They're one of the cheapest. Here's Chapman. But what you need to be careful of is, does this include the transportation of you or your loved one's body to the place to be cremated? Because if they don't, then you have to go through a No Weekend with Bernie episodes. You can't do it yourself. You got to call somebody else. So, just look here. The difference between this, Eternity, and Ferreira Colonial. And you know, that's right next to the Roman Catholic Church. I think they're gouging them. Ooh, if you want, okay. But look at the view you get. You have a view. It does. It has a great view. Let's see, where is it? And let's look up, okay, Anaheim. Yeah. Yes. Right. So if someone in your family is really committed to having a casket with the body present, even though the body will be cremated, what Irma was sharing is that if you don't do it fast, if you do it fast, you may not have to get embalmed. But if you don't do it fast, the body will be embalmed, you rent a casket, then the body is cremated, right? So part of that is just working with your loved ones about how you feel about your physical remains, you know? And I don't think, like, I think about my parents. They picked pretty nice caskets and stuff. And it's like nothing that any of us would want. And so you have to think through that. And you have to work through with your relatives of why a body in a casket if they want to be cremated. But that is often common. Right. So, and now some places, if you do your work beforehand, you know that you can rent different kinds of caskets and that it's okay that it's a wood, pine wood, right? But they're not going to, they are not working off of, you know, it is a business. It's a for-profit business. So you just go in knowing that you're going to be sold. If you're, are you going to be in a casket? I think at the most three.
Depends on the season of the year.
Yeah.
And how warm it is.
It's about three. Cremation usually takes 5 to 6 days. What we're finding here is that, some people are just like, well, let's just have the memorial service and we'll deal with the cremains later, right? Because then they have a little prayer with Reverend Jeannie or I at the Rose Garden here, or, you know, everybody's for the midnight stroll along Laguna Beach because you can't really do it, but everybody's got their baggie, you know? So it really depends on what you want. So, uh-huh. Yeah, you can. Do you already have a niche?
Yeah.
Okay. You would have to add. Usually, you should be able to, but you might have to go there and work that out ahead of time. Yeah. Okay. Those of you that are really, like, official and need to see the government website, this is it, and I couldn't find anything. It was really hard. Stones. Okay. This funeral ethics organization, if you are concerned about your rights, or like what you just asked, you know, how do I get someone's ashes from Arizona to California? You pick your state, and it gives you the rights in the smallest little print. Okay, this is the Cremation Society. They, if you just Google cremation, this is what comes up. They are one of many places that do cremation, and most of them have an option. I want to plan ahead, or oh my gosh, something's just occurred. And so, again, you want to look through these sites and figure out which company you want to go with. No, Neptune Society will do, it's one rate for cremations, then it's one rate for the little boat, it's another rate for the bigger boat, you know, because, and how many passengers. So you don't have to pay, so you're going to pay for your, yeah, remember, it's like, it's services. You want the basics, and then you go up and up and up and up. So this, again, is if you, let's do this. Okay. So here, you know, just one of these sites will give you information about, you know, how do I choose a package, a container? Okay, this is something that's new. Keepsakes, like jewelry and glass things and stuff. Yep. Okay, so this was really interesting to me. There are a couple of cemeteries around that, like ours would be Santa Ana Cemetery. And it has super cheap for lots of stuff. So, right. So, you know, another place to look. They also have a program for if you have no money. Yes. Okay. Then here, this is, oh, come on, come on. Dignity Memorial. Oh, their service isn't up. Okay, so Fairhaven is Dignity Memorial. And so are a couple others. You know, the independently run places are getting bought up. So when you go onto this website, okay, obituaries cost a couple $100. Just be prepared. This lists a whole bunch of funeral homes and cemeteries. And this will talk about your memorial service and how they sell unique funeral ideas, cremation, a traditional funeral, and customs, and their property. And so you would probably, if cremation is what you would want, you can watch a video about it, but basically it's vague on this site because they want you to come in. All right. So yeah. So this website.
And keep in mind, if you publicize the time and location of the funeral service, make sure there's someone at your home during that time.
Oh. Yeah. So this site, which is the second one on your list, or if you forget and you go to funerals.org, the one on the top, you can. There will be a spot to look up for Southern California, right? And that just takes you right here. But this is where you want that price survey again. And those who don't want to look on the computer, I have it printed out for you. And then you can just pick your city and start looking. But there, when you go there and talk to them, there might be other options, right? So least expensive casket, but they might also have other cheaper options like a pine one or a cardboard box, but they're not going to advertise it. So you have to know, you have to go in and really talk about it. Okay, then the last two things. A lot of you probably have clicked the little box for organ donation on your driver's license. But if you haven't You can go here and donate. For organ donations, no matter how old you are, there may still be a use for some of your parts, your bits and bobs. And so what they do is they do a test and figure out what they can use. And it may be, there's no cost to you. They do the testing and screening once you're dead. And for your loved ones, if you want to donate your organs, the team that's the organ transplant surgeons are not the same surgeons as your physicians, right, who are taking care of you. So it isn't like it's not like they're going, well, let's harvest, you know, she's not dead yet, but we want that organ, right? You're brain dead, though they may keep your body on some life support until the surgeons come to harvest whatever organs they think they might be able to harvest. And the reason why is it either saves or prolongs a life. Your death isn't in vain. You know, your physical body continues to help. And sometimes it goes to medical research and training. And so this is another place to sign up for that. So no cost to you. It is always covered by the recipient or a charity. Okay? Then if you want to do your whole body to science, so if you really want no cost at all, you can have your body donated, and that will go to places like UCLA or UC Irvine, and it's for medical research and training. And your family can request when they're finished with your body if you want to have the remains, like have a cremation and have the remains. But usually you just sort of let it go, right? And from all the stuff that I read on this, you know, it's more a tale off of a TV show that the students or you know, anyone at the school, you know, puts a turkey on your head and does something stupid. There really is a great respect to the donors and the dignity to it. And so there's a couple different options, but this one, Science Care or Life Legacy, seem to be pretty good. So that's everything that I wanted to go through. If you want to have the guide to cemetery purchases and prepay, that's what you want to pick up this one, because it talks about every kind of plot, a vault, opening fees, closing fees, veterans, your rights, what you should know. And then this one on the back, should you prepay for your funeral? So for pre-need insurance or burial insurance, or a trust, or irrevocable trust. So that's all on here. These two, this is the compare prices, and this is another one for that more affordable Santa Ana Cemetery. So take this, because it's printed out, and it's got some more information on what direct cremation is, what immediate burial is, in the, you know, time frame, Kimberly, so and various funeral services. So that's probably the one you want the most. This one is all on green burial. I like the one where they fold your body up into a little pod, and then they put a seed, and your body, it provides the nutrients for the tree that grows out of the pod. Isn't that the best?
Don't you feel like you're watching QVC?
And then biocremation is also on here. And so there's a lot of information on this. And some of the biocremation stuff is stuff you haven't thought of that you may or may not want to consider. on your traditional burial or cremation. And so if you're curious to read about that, please take that sheet. I don't want to go into any details.
I was going to say, you're going over time. Just one thing I wanted to add. The rubrics at the very beginning that we looked at talked about the casket being closed. If you have interest in an open casket viewing, that has to take place at the funeral home, at the mortuary, because caskets are not opened in the church. So we would not be able to have that here.
Last but not least, this is the Episcopal Church Foundation, which is where we got all the this booklet. And if you want a shiny, glossy version, you can go there and buy one. If you work through this and then you want another copy for a clean thing that you're going to leave with the office, let me know and I'll just run another copy for you. And just mostly next week, I will be going through a couple of websites that help you have the conversation, right? And so, keep this, write it. You may need to redo it or get another copy, but we'll help you through the whole process.
But please bring them back next week with you.
Yeah, we're going to work through these until the very last night.
So. And the last thing, I also had said that I would say something about why the casket is covered with a pall. The casket's never opened in the church, and it's always covered with a pall for two reasons. One is that it is reminiscent of our baptismal garment, and we are covered with a white garment, but also because it covers up the type of casket we have. So whether we're driving a Volkswagen or a Cadillac, we are all the same before God. So our casket is covered with if this is a service where the body's present, our casket is covered with the pall at the back of the church. The pall remains on it through the whole service, and the pall is not removed until the casket leaves the church. So if you wanted to show off in church, don't bother.
Like a what?
Yeah, Carol. That's true, yes. The same is true for cremains. We do have a white cloth, a pall that covers the urns, or urn or urns. Was there another? Oh, No. It belongs to the church. It's heavy brocade. It's like our vestments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's covering the container. Yeah, yes, it's a smaller. Yeah, Rosemary. The prayer book makes provision for that. It's called the committal, and there was something. And remember, we were reading at the beginning. It said if the committal follows immediately, the committal is our phrasing for the graveside service. It's very short. It's about 5 minutes max. It has prayers reminiscent of the service, but that's what is done at the graveside. And as with anything else, should it be appropriate, we can add extra stuff to it. You know, should you want something longer than the 5 minutes, we can do that. Yeah, Seema. Well, we never have had a home funeral in the church. This is something that's relatively new. And again, I'd go back to the prayer book saying the Christians are properly buried from the church. Yeah, so. Anything else? Going once. Going twice. And the catalog is catalog favorites for that T-shirt. No. Catalog favorites.
You need to buy us one, and then in your instructions say, under your L, this is what I want you wearing.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.